That is such an inspiring video, and I was able to, I went to my neighbours yesterday, and I showed them the video of her on there, and yeah, she was inspired to be part of it, and she was inspired to watch it, and we hope it goes global, we hope it goes viral, and you can be a part of that by sharing it, and you know, whatever you do on Facebook. I've been away this week at in Auckland at a conference, a Godly Play conference, and it's been amazing. And I was talking with Sue Ellis. If you know Sue Ellis, she's she works for the Salvation Army, and we both said, I was staying with her and her husband at night, and so we have the debrief. And I said to her, I feel like we've been at a holiness convention. And you might think that Godly Play is play. Well, it's actually about telling stories. And it's about telling stories in the context of with children. But Godly Play can be used in telling stories with prisoners and in this kind of setting and in rest homes and in everyone's own families. And Godly Play is not something that you can go upstairs and watch because there's some holiness around it. So it's not something that would say, hey, go up there and watch it. No, it's nothing like that. But when you experience it, you feel you've been on holy ground. And if you're interested, I'd love to tell you more about it because I'm really excited. Okay, so last week we looked at bless, how we can bless people. So we looked at the B. And you were given a opportunity to do that practically. I took the opportunity of writing 3 cards in the last week to 3 people in my life, and that was my way of blessing them. And I wonder how you have blessed people in your life. I heard an amazing story while I was away. You know that the Salvation Army has begun its work in Samoa, and the opening ceremony, the opening kind of celebratory services are going to be held in the beginning of August, and Chris and Vanessa are going. Petra and I are going to Samoa this Saturday for a week, but we're going to miss it. However, we'll be following along on Facebook. So I was talking with Sue, and when I was talking with Sue, her husband rang, and because she was driving, I was navigating, and I put her cell phone on speaker so she could talk with him, and so I was kind of listening. And anyway, they've found some funding. So there were 3 Samoan workers at community ministries in Auckland, and they have been surprised by getting complimentary tickets to go to Samoa for the opening. And I met this one woman called Grace on Thursday, and she gave me permission to tell her story. She is just completely overwhelmed by the fact that, one, someone thought about her, and someone thought about giving her some money and booking some flights. And her family are in Samoa. And Rod and Jenny and the Salvation Army in Samoa are wanting to establish really good connections between the Salvation Army in Samoa and the Salvation Army in New Zealand. So these 3 women and Sue are going to be flying to Samoa. Surprise the world by blessing someone. How exciting. And this week, we're talking about eating. If last week you thought we had spelt bless wrong with these letters, you're wrong. So we're talking about E. In fact, I'm not going to name this person, but there is someone here today in this room who, in the last week, saw this man on the street. I'll tell you, this person was a man, saw a man on the street, and felt like God was nudging his soul, I want you to have a meal with this person. And this person, this man, thought, oh, you know, really, is that of God? And so he said to God, if it is of you, I want to see him again. So I think it was the next day, this person, this man, saw this other person, and he was dressed in a fluoro jacket. Like as God was saying, I don't want you to miss this guy, I'm dressing him in a fluoro jacket. And this guy who's sitting in this congregation today invited him for a meal. Surprise the world. We know that food and meals are really important, and so there's some slides here I want you to look at. This one is the three visitors, and it's from Genesis 18, where Abraham and Sarah entertained three angels. And Abraham said to Sarah, "Get some flour and make a meal." And they entertained these three visitors. This story is from Luke, Jesus at a Pharisee's house, and I'm going to read. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. I felt a little bit like that when I was a boy, and we used to go roller skating at Nainai in the hut, and there was an opportunity for the speed skaters to go, and everyone else kind of sat on the side. So I thought, I'm a speed skater. So I went on with the speed skaters, and it wasn't long before this one of the people on the team leader, they came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder, and told me to get off the rink, because I wasn't a speed skater. I was humiliated, but I've done some work on that. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." And then you'll be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So that's one story of food in the Bible. There's a couple of others. The Last Supper, where Jesus and his disciples shared a meal together. After traveling on the road to Emmaus, Jesus and two fellow travelers shared a meal together. Zacchaeus, Jesus called Zacchaeus and actually invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, and they shared a meal together. You may recall at a wedding ceremony where there was lots of food and drink, Jesus helped out by turning the water into wine. That was his first miracle. And then if you've ever seen The Shack, a fantastic movie, there's a time in the movie where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and this gentleman, Mackenzie, share a meal together. And significant things were experienced and said during that time. So eating is really important. In fact, Rosaria Butterfield says that the gospel comes with a house key. The gospel comes with a house key. And it's in our homes that's where we can display authentic love. So let's look at how the table, how eating can shape our mission in our neighborhood. Firstly, the table can be a surprising place. When you look at who Jesus ate with, he ate with prostitutes. He ate with sinners. He ate with tax collectors. And we can use our table at home to break down walls in our neighborhoods. It's easy to invite the people that we love to hang out with and have a meal with them. But we can surprise the world by inviting people that we don't really know, neighbors that we haven't really spoken to, colleagues at work that we don't sit next to, that we might see from time to time. The table can be a very surprising place. In fact, Michael Frost, who wrote the book Surprise the World, where this comes from, he says, be radical socializers. Radical socializers. So socializing in a radical way. Here's a challenge. When I came to this building this morning, there was someone already sitting outside, I think, Supreme Bakery, asking for money. Often there's someone sitting out the Spirit House asking for money. How would it be if I invited that person home for dinner? How would it be if you invited that person home for dinner? How would it be if our pavement sign said free morning tea after every church service? Be radical socializers. In Jesus' time, a person would never eat with someone of a different social standing. Like people would eat with like people. Jews would certainly not eat with Gentiles, and Gentiles would certainly not eat with Jews. We can become radical socializers by the people that we choose to invite to our table, or the people that we choose to go out to a cafe with. The table can be a surprising place. And along these lines, Alan Hirsch and Lance Ford say this: sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Missional hospitality is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. We can literally eat our way into the kingdom of God. If every Christian household regularly invited a stranger or a poor person into their home for a meal once a week, we would literally change the world by eating. So the table can be a surprising place that gets people asking, why did you invite me for a meal? The table can be a surprising place. The table builds community. If you really want to get to know someone, have a meal with them. When you have a meal with them, you are sharing your home or you're sharing your time. You have conversation, you develop friendship. You both or each rest and reconcile and talk about what's happening in your world. And so at the table, we talk with those who we have invited. And instead of just inviting your neighbors to church or to a church event, how about start inviting them to your home for a meal and then invite them to church? Simon Carey Holt says this about community: it is through the daily practice of the table that we live a life worth living. Through the table, we know who we are, where we come from, what we value and believe. At the table, we learn what it means to be family and how to live in responsible, loving relationships. And through the table, we live our neighborliness and citizenship, express our allegiance to particular places and communities, and claim our sense of home and belonging. Now, you might take that for granted. Not everyone has that. At the table, we celebrate beauty and express solidarity with those who are broken and hungry. Isn't it true that the church can so easily be a holy huddle? We socialize together, we eat together, and the things that we love to do, we do with people that we love to hang out with. We can be radical and begin to hang out with people that we don't even know. The table can be a surprising place. The table can build community. And the table reflects the character of God. God, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Have a look at this painting. It was painted by Andrei Rublev in 1410, and it depicts the Father, the Son, and the Spirit gathered around a table. And again, in The Shack, the movie, you see this in a contemporary setting. It's a beautiful image of the Trinity, and we're looking at the Trinity upstairs in our lifestyle covenant classes. Hospitality becomes the modus operandi. A modus operandi is It's just the default setting of how we live our lives. Those who are in life and those who are in mission with God, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who have fellowship with one another, we can have fellowship with one another. And I think it's no coincidence that when Jesus was with his disciples and said, I want you to break bread and I want you to drink, I want you to have a meal to remember me. And today communion is kind of served in this liturgical context. It's one of our liturgies, not so much in the Salvation Army, but I hope you found it meaningful a couple of weeks ago when we had communion. The first Christians celebrated community by way of a banquet. So there was the sense of communion, remembering what Jesus had done for them, but they ate together, they celebrated together, and food was really important. An essential part of children's church is the feast. So every Sunday, the children are invited to the table, and they are given food, and they are given some drink, and they have a feast together. And in the training that I went to, the person that developed Godly Play said to the people, and it all filtered down to the trainers that were there, if you have no time to do anything else, make sure you have the feast. Because the feast is where children know they are valued and they are loved. Someone saved a space for them. Here in our Sunday context, we have morning tea together. It's like our feast. It's our opportunity to spend more time with people. The primary symbol of Christian worship is not the pulpit, it's not the music team, it's the table. Rosaria Butterfield said three other things that I wanted to pass on to you. I thought they were really helpful. Hospitality nurtures and grows the family of God. You may not know, but there might be someone in this setting who is lonely. You might not know, but there was someone here who is feeling a little bit distant from everyone else. And in any group of people this size, I can assure you there'll be someone who's feeling a little bit on the outer. Inviting people to have a meal with them, to have a meal with you, nurtures and grows the family of God. And home groups, small groups, they help towards that. Some small groups have a meal every time they meet. Others have supper. But hospitality nurtures and grows the family of God. Hospitality is good for us, the giver. It helps us take our eyes off ourselves and our world and what's important to us, and encourage us to look outside of our homes, outside of our circle of friends, outside of the people that we usually hang out with. Hospitality helps us bless others by what God has blessed us with. And listen to this. Hospitality puts our lives and our hearts on display for other people. Hospitality puts our lives and our hearts on display for other people. And then for those of us, for those of you who have children, hospitality is good for our children. And you know what? Our children will watch you as adults entertaining others. You're modeling to your children what it means to be hospitable. And should you choose to give thanks for the meal and say grace, you're modeling to your children that we welcome God and we give thanks to God for the way that he has blessed us. And should you choose to have a reading or a devotional or a story following your meal or before your meal, as parents, you are modeling to your children the value of the Bible and how the Bible can be part of our everyday life, but I'll tell you what, more than that, part of our everyday conversation. And it disturbs me, to be frank with you, when I hear of parents saying they don't talk with their children about God, when we would say that God is the most natural part of our lives. So hospitality is a great opportunity for your children to see that faith is not just a Sunday, it's Monday right through to Sunday. So Surprise the World is about living questionable lives. It's developing new habits so that people would give an opportunity to us to be able to tell why we've invited them for a meal, if that surprised them. Why I wrote a card, if that surprised them. Why take three women to Samoa, if that surprised them. And we can model the character of God, we can build community, and we can surprise our guests at our table. If you were here last week, I suggested, and Surprise the World suggests, that we bless someone. We bless three people every week, and one of those people needs to be unchurched. This is not replacing that. This is on top of. So is the LLS. So bless three people every week until Jesus comes. One of them needs to be unchurched. And eat with three people every week, and one of them needs to be unchurched. Now, if you've got it mass, we have 21 meals every week. We already eat three times a day. So we're not asking you to do anything extra, but just one of those meals invite three people, or three of those meals invite one person. Yes, if you want to do this really quickly, invite three meals, three people all at once. Now, we're not saying you have to do a fancy three-course meal. It could be coffee at a cafe. It could be something like this. It could be a muffin. It could be taking a muffin to someone at work. I've just made some muffins, and I thought of you, and I'd like to give you a muffin for morning tea. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It actually starts in the heart. And it starts in the soul, that place where we nurture, because that's where God lives. That's where it starts. Might be a burger at McDonald's. Because what it is, a feast is not what we're eating. The feast is that we're with other people. That's the value of eating with others. So I invite you to bless people, and I invite you to eat with people. Three people every week, and one of them needs to be unchurched. So that means we can still hang out and meet and eat with our own people in our church, in our circle of influence, but think about one person. How would it be if on your way home you saw someone sitting there and you said, hey, listen, I'm going to the supermarket. What would you like me to buy you? Let's live questionable lives as missional people and surprise the world. This is a meal that I could share with you. As the people of God, let us eat with others and surprise the world. I wonder if you have heard God speaking to you this morning. If you have heard from God, or if you have not heard from God, I wonder how you would like to use our response time. You may want to take up the challenge of sharing food with three people this week, and you might want to spend this time thinking about who they could be. You might want to come and pray at the mercy seat. That's a place where all of God can draw close to you, and you can draw close to God. In our response time, you may want to talk with someone. In our response time, you may want to stay where you are and reflect on what you've heard.